So this, of course, our study has been on the end times and the latter days and the things that we're going to see happening. And I thought it interesting that here on our Thanksgiving weekend, our starting verses anyway, have a little bit to do with Thanksgiving. We see that in verses 3 and verses 4 of this text here. But really what I wanted us, what we're looking at is just things that we're going to be seeing. And last week we looked at three things. We saw the desires for wealth, the desires for those things and whatnot. This week we're going to be looking more at the departing from the faith, the getting away from God, the way that things are going to be turned away from God. And we certainly can see that in our country, in our world around us, and so forth. And it's interesting. Last night Becky and I were watching something on TV. It was an interview. And there's a man, he wrote a book, and it's called Weak, Wimpy, and Woke. That's the name of the book, okay? I don't know anything about the man, and I've never read the book, okay? I know that he's saved. I heard his testimony. He's a saved man. But I'm not telling you to go out and buy the book. I don't know. If you want to investigate it, you can do that. But in the interview with him, he made this statement. I thought this was very, very appropriate for the day that we're living in. When it comes to salvation, we go to the Bible. We look at what the Bible has to say about salvation. But in the day and age that we live in now, in our Christian culture, it seems that everything else after salvation, we go to what the world has to say. We have adopted and even accepted the world's view on a lot of things. And I thought as he was talking about that, I thought about that, and I thought, boy, that is so true. One of the biggest questions that comes up today is, what does the Bible say about this? Does the Bible have the answer for any question or any struggle or any trial that I might be going through? Is the Bible sufficient? God said it would be. God said that his word is sufficient. He says that it's perfect. It's lacking nothing. So does the Bible have the answer for everything that we're going to deal with in life? Or do we have to go to world's philosophies? Well, honestly, and abruptly, yes, the Bible does have the answers. Sometimes you might have to study, sometimes you might have to spend some time in it, but the Word of God has the answers for whatever might be going on in your life and whatever you might need to do. I have seen some families in the church, not in this one, but in church, I have seen some families totally abandon God's principles for raising children in the family and adopt the world's views, and I have seen their families become an absolute mess because of what the world has told them to do. You want your children to behave? This is what you need to do. I remember when Emily's here today, so we're not going to use a lot of Emily examples, but when she was first born, there was this book, and I can't remember if it's Mr. Spock or Dr. Spock. I get them mixed up with the Star Trek dude. But he wrote this book about how to raise children, and it was really very anti what God said about raising children. You know, it really was. And yet people, because of his credentials or whatever, they tried everything they could with this book to try to get children to behave, to listen, to do what they wanted them to do, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And yet, he totally abandoned biblical principles for child rearing, child discipline, and things like that. And I remember hearing one preacher say this. He goes, I finally found the best use for that book. He said, the only thing I had at hand at one time when my child needed some discipline, put it over my knee and I used that book, and it was the best thing that book ever gave me as we dealt with that. Now, the Bible does tell us how to discipline our children. It does tell us the profit of that. And that it is profitable to do that. When children have boundaries and consequences, there's safety and security in that. When a child is left to himself, the Bible tells us, brings his mother to shame, you know? In disciplining the child, it tells us in the Bible that we will save their soul from hell, you know? There has to be consequences to bad actions. And I remember I was working in the prison, so we're going back 25 years now, but I was working in the prison, and this lady was talking about her kid, and she was like, I refuse to discipline my child. He, you know, as he gets older, he'll make good decisions, he'll do all this and everything. And she never told the kid no. She never, you know, and this kid was just a terror. And I finally, one day, said this. I said, you need to give this kid some boundaries and some discipline, because if you don't do it now, in about 15 years, I'm going to do it. And she went, ooh. And I said, you know, that really, that's the truth of it, you know. Children need those boundaries. They need that discipline. And really, they long for that. They need that. When a child's left to themselves, there's so much uncertainty and so forth. I say that to say this. In verse number 1 here of 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, when we see things happening in our world, and we see, maybe we even see some things that are being done under the title or the make or so forth of religion, you know. And but yet, really, at the heart of it, there's some bad things there. And we need to be very careful with that. And we need to be very careful about the things that are happening in our world today and the things that we see going on around our world today. In Jude, verse 3, it says this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You know, we need to contend for our faith. We need to hold to sound doctrine, because in the latter days, we are seeing that there are some that are going after these other things. And really, they are seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In 1 John chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me, 1 John chapter 4, it tells us to be careful of these things. You know, there are things that come on that sound really good on the surface, but as we get into them and dig into them a little bit, we find out that they're not so good after all. And we need to be really careful with that. I think that is really one of the key reasons that God did give us the church and so forth, so that things can, when we give and when we minister and when we do things, we do it through our local church, so that there can be some protection, there can be some accountability there, and we don't end up giving our time or our resources to ungodly things. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And we know that the religions of today and so forth, a lot of the false religions of today started because someone didn't like something that they found in the Bible, and we're going to find a different way or something better or something deeper than what the Bible had to say. And a lot of false religions were started just out of simply a rejection of what God had commanded or what God had written in His Word. And we see here that we need to try the spirits. We need to see if they are of God. It's interesting, in verse 2, he says here, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist." It's very interesting to me that in the day and age we live today, there are those that will talk about Jesus Christ, and then in the same breath talk about very anti-godly things. You know, so we have to be very careful about what is being said. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, I'll just read this to you. But if you want to turn over to 2 Corinthians 11, I want you to see something there. 2 Corinthians 11, as you're turning there, I'll read this to you. 2 Timothy 3:13, it says this, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So we're going to see an increase in that. We're going to see things getting worse and worse. Obviously, we are. You know, we definitely see those things transpiring today. And we do see a departing from the faith. I want you to understand this, too. Our church is a very unique church, and I hope you understand that. I hope you appreciate what we have here. There are not a lot of churches that have the age mix that we have. They see, you know, we see the young adults, we see the kids, our nursery is starting to explode, you know, things like that. You know, just we see these things, you know. A lot of churches that preach the way our pastor preaches and have the constitution and the doctrinal statement that our church has doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of young folks in it anymore. You know, so there's a lot of that's going on, and there's a lot that's being adopted into the quote-unquote church to get people into the pews, but they're not getting people into heaven. You understand? We're going to look at the verse that talks about itching ears and those kind of things, you know? So we want to be really careful with that. I remember in Bible school taking a class, and it was on church growth, and it was probably one of the best classes I ever took, and it was because of this. I didn't agree with the professor, and it made me go to the scriptures. His basic philosophy, and I won't tell you who it was, you'll know the name if I say it, but I won't say it. His philosophy was this: do whatever it takes to get people in the pew, and then you can give them the gospel. You got to be careful with that. When we come to church, it is for us to exhort and encourage and lift up each other to prepare each other to go back out into the world. It's not to make the world comfortable. It's not. That's the truth of it. When we come to church, we should be comfortable. We're not always going to enjoy every message. I mean, that's true. You know, there's going to be some things that God's working on our hearts for. But when an unsaved person comes into the church, are the people supposed to be welcoming? Yes. Are they necessarily supposed to feel comfortable? Maybe not. Not with the Holy Spirit working on them. Let me ask you this. An unsaved person living in the world, living a wicked lifestyle, if they were able to spend 10 minutes in heaven, do you think they'd be comfortable? Of course not. Are we supposed to be welcoming? Are we supposed to invite people? Yes. Are we supposed to adopt the world's philosophy so that they feel comfortable and go out of here feeling great? No. What we are supposed to do is preach the word, and we're to hold to God's word and to God's commandments. If we take a philosophy of just keeping the world happy, we're not going to see people get saved. We're going to justify the sin that they're living in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, watch this with me. Verse number 3, it says, "But I fear, lest by any man's, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Folks, the Bible says what the Bible says. And you want to be really careful of people that are looking for the Bible to say something more in-depth, something secret, something that has not been revealed before. Maybe you've heard this little saying, if it's new, it ain't true. You know? I remember one time talking to one of the Bible teachers there and talking about wanting to have a sermon that was unique. And he said this to me. He goes, first of all, he says, you're never going to preach a message that hasn't already been preached, at least from the text. You're never going to preach a message that hasn't already been preached. And if you do, you probably shouldn't. And I thought, well, that's pretty good, you know. So I shared with you a few weeks ago the struggle that I had when the Lord was leading me to that portion of Scripture about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I was like, everybody in church knows that story inside and out. This is not what I should be preaching on this Sunday, you know. And I argued with God about it, and I was wrong. And I confessed it, and I got it right with God. And it was. I enjoyed the message. I hope you did. I enjoyed it. It was a great message. And boy, that didn't sound too good, did it? I think it was a good message. I enjoyed it. Sorry about that. But you know, we're not. There is stuff that we're going to learn. And as we spend time in the Bible day after day, there's things that God's going to teach us. But it's not heresy. It's not things that go against Scripture. It's going to ground us and give us a foundation in the Scriptures. And we're going to learn, because as we're growing and as we are going through that sanctifying process, there are things in our lives that are changing. We're getting more Christ-like, and we're going to see things out of the Scriptures that maybe we didn't see before, but it's not going to be some hidden thing that nobody else knows about. I enjoy having conversations with Bill and with Pastor and other ones and say, hey, did you ever see in the verse this? And they'll go, yeah, actually, I have seen that. Yeah, it's there, you know, and to be able to talk about those things and stuff and what's in the Word of God. When we did that series on the fruit of the Spirit, there was a lot of times that after that series, you know, I'd get done on a Sunday morning, and Bill would come up and go, hey, I preached this too, and, you know, I brought this out, and I talked about this, and you know, we just talked about the Scriptures, and we talked about what was in there, and that's just so exciting as Christians to be able to have that common bond and to have that oneness and that. And that central focus on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. In 2 Corinthians 11 here, Paul is talking and he's encouraging them. And he says that he's in fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In the verses that we're looking at here, First Timothy 4, we're looking at the fact that people are going to be drawn away from the faith with seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils, those seducing spirits, are those things that are enticing, but they're wrong. And then we come down in 2 Corinthians 11 to verse number 13, and I want you to see this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Just because they carry a Bible and talk good doesn't necessarily mean that they're right. And you want to be careful. You want to search the Scriptures. When I was, when I was in Bible school, there was a guy that was going to school with us. And he had some false doctrine. He had some stuff that he was really off on. But he loved to talk about it. He loved to challenge us with some of his thoughts and some of his thinkings. And he wouldn't do it in the classroom. He would do it privately. And I remember us having him come over to the house for dinner one night. And he was a friendly fellow. He was a very nice guy. Boy, he had a nice car. It was a Mustang. And it was beautiful. What a nice car. Never let me drive it. Never let Becky drive it. Becky wanted to drive it more than I did, but never let us drive his car. Anyhow, he would sit down and we would open the Scriptures and he would read things and then he would twist them. And we would go, wow, well, I can see what you're saying, but I just, and then he, you know, and we would talk for hours. And then he would eventually go home. And Becky and I would sit there and we'd talk about what he said and we'd talk about the things that he was bringing to us. And we really had to determine this. Let's take it back to the Scriptures and let's see what the Bible says. Because he would say this. He'd read a portion of Scripture and he'd go, you know what that really means? I wasn't strong enough in the faith at the time to let that be a red flag. But he said, you know what that really means? That means, and he would go off on some thing that his religion was teaching him. And I remember thinking, but the Bible is not for any private interpretation. The Bible says what it says. We need to accept it. We need to listen to it. We need to learn from it. And we really had to come to the point of, what does the Bible say? This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible means. And just because this really nice guy with a really nice car, using the same Bible, doesn't mean that he's bringing the same message. We need to be careful with that. When I was over in Bryant Pond, Emily and I were out working in the garage one day, and a Jehovah's Witness pulled up. And they had a car full, but only one got out. And usually, I just dismiss them. I just go away. But Emily was there, and they came out, and they started. She was only, eight or nine. And they started asking questions. Now, I'm at the parsonage next to our Baptist church, and they stopped and wanted to ask me some questions. And so they would open the Bible, their King James Bible, and they would read a portion of Scripture, and then they would tell me what it meant. And I would let them talk, and then I would say, now hang on a minute. Open that back up and keep reading. Well, no, we don't need to do that because the Bible is very clear and da-da. No, if the Bible is very clear, open it back up and keep reading because the next few verses will contradict what you're trying to tell me. We had a conversation that lasted probably about a half an hour. And finally they were like, well, obviously we're not going to convince you. Can we leave you some literature? That's when I said, no. And they left. And we went back to working in the garage. And I remember Emily saying this to me. She goes, Dad? I said, what? She goes, they don't really know the Bible all that good, do they? And I said, they know parts of it. And they know it good enough to make people doubt what it says. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil said, yea, hath God said. There has been a battle since Genesis on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Now, we have so much out there to confuse us, so many different things, translations, commentaries, things like that, that we can use that can really twist the Scriptures and bring us to a point where we're believing and putting trust and faith in things that we really shouldn't. Our trust, our faith should be in Jesus Christ and in his finished work on the cross and what God has done. And we have his Bible to look at and to read and to learn from. And we need to be really careful when people come in and they have an appearance of light, like we see in 2 Corinthians 11. They have an appearance of good, but the message they bring is evil. And we need to be very careful of that. There's a lot of verses in the Bible. We've only looked at three of them this morning. But there are a lot of Bible verses in the Bible that tell us to be careful of those that come in and bring a false doctrine and bring a false teaching. In fact, we'll just go to one more, Galatians chapter 1. This is probably one of the places that I really like to go to. I don't remember the day, but I remember finding these verses for the first time that they really just sunk into my heart. Galatians chapter 1. Verse number 6, Galatians 1, verse 6, says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I found it very interesting that in Galatians, they're being challenged in their faith. They're being challenged with another gospel, another doctrine. Paul writes and he says that he's marvels. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him. You know the gospel. You know the simplicity of the gospel. It's amazing to me that someone is enticing you and pulling you away. Imagine that. First Timothy 4, it talks about seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Isn't it interesting here that he writes, Paul, an apostle, verse number 1, not of men, neither of men, but by Jesus Christ and God our Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. So he's writing this warning to a church to be careful of those that would come in and bring a false doctrine or bring a false gospel. He says then in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he gives the warning, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. You know, when we see things repeated in the Bible, I know a preacher that says this, repetition in the Bible is God's volume control. Turn it up, you know, pay attention. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And then this verse, verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And for a while, I wondered, why would verse 10 be there? And then I got thinking about this. We know that he's writing to the churches of Galatia. He's writing to the brethren. There are some that have come into the church that are bringing a false doctrine. Maybe some of them are friends. Maybe some of them are best friends. And they got into some false doctrine. Well, what do I do? This is my buddy. Verse 10. Get away from him. Are you trying to please men or are you trying to please God? And that divides. Remember, this is a person that's bringing a false doctrine, bringing in false teaching. And he says here, let that person be accursed. That means get him away from you. That means the word literally means excommunicate. Just get them, remove them from your presence. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Sometimes we do have to take a stand on the scriptures. And sometimes we have to take the stand on the scriptures with somebody that we thought at one time was on the same page as us. But something crept in. Something got in there. It's a seducing spirit that we see in 1 Timothy 4. It's a doctrine of devils, but it's a seducing spirit. It's subtle. It's enticing. It's inviting. But it's a doctrine of devils. And we need to be very careful with that. We see a departing from the faith. We see a departing, and we see an increase in things that are ungodly. If we go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm sorry. No. You're not going to find 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Sorry about that. 2 Thessalonians. I looked down at my notes and I saw the 4. And pays to read the whole note. 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at this in verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we're not going to get into that. Obviously, it's talking about the Antichrist and things like that. I'm not going to get into that. That we'd end up going into a whole another prophecy and the Antichrist, the mode, the character of the Antichrist, who it's going to be. I can tell you who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Joe Biden. Okay? It's not going to be Joe Biden. There's been a lot of presidents that have come and people have said, oh, do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear what they're doing? This might be the Antichrist. Never once accused Joe Biden of being. Nobody's going to follow him to do nothing there. But. Wow, that got political really quick. But what he's saying here is there are some that have beguiled and that have tricked the church of Thessalonica into believing that the rapture, the second coming of Christ, had already happened. And he's like, it hasn't happened because these are some things that you're going to see before it happens. And one of the things is a great falling away. We see that in verse number 3. Except there come a falling away first, And then that man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition that goes on to describe him. If we go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Hang on a minute. 2 Timothy, we're in 2 Thessalonians. Go with me if you would to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some of these verses we've looked at before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I just want to bring reference to them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And interesting, we started with seducing spirits that are bringing in doctrines of devils. We need to be sure that we are holding on to sound doctrine. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Folks, we all know examples of this. People that were, maybe at one time there was somebody that went to church with you, and now they're going to a church that you never thought they would ever go to. So what happened? Did they compromise? Did they get hurt? Were they affected in some way? What caused them to depart? You know, at one time we stood in the same place. We believed the same things, and now they're off doing this. And the Bible doesn't even support that, but they're doing it. And you know, we have to be very careful of that. Because there are going to be those that will go after that fun message, that message that lets them feel like they're all okay. There's many examples in the mega church mentality of this, as far as just giving them what they want to hear. You know, it's really a shame, but it's happening. And it's happened throughout the centuries, really, as there have been false teachers and those that are playing to the crowd, so to speak. And they want that message that tickles their ears. We all enjoy a fun message. Who doesn't? You know, a message that just kind of reminds us of some things and just makes us feel good and sends us on our way. But you know, the Word of God, there are times when we read the Word of God and it steps on our toes. And it does cause there to be reproof, rebuking, and then exhorting. I mean, it happens, and it should happen. We have to be really careful with those itching ears and those folks that have the itching ears that are going after those things constantly. Oh, my. Turn me over to Jude, please. Jude, in closing. You won't find chapter 4 in Jude either. Jude, I want you to just see some things. So just in closing, I'm just going to wrap it up here. Jude, in verse number 17, it says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So remember the things that were told to us. Remember that we would what we would see in the latter days. Remember the things that we would see transpiring. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Jude, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken. Matthew Henry wrote this, we ought not to be offended if errors and persecutions arise and prevail in the Christian church. This was foretold. And therefore we should not think worse of Christ's person, doctrine, or cross when we see it fulfilled. We must not think it strange, but comfort ourselves with this, that in the midst of all this confusion, Christ will maintain his church and make good his promise that said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. From Matthew chapter 16. The more religion is ridiculed and persecuted, the faster hold we should take and keep of it. Being forewarned, we should show that we are forearmed. Under such trials, we should stand firm and not be shaken in mind. These things that are happening in our world, don't let it shake you. The Bible said it was going to happen. What do we do? We hold fast to sound doctrine. What else do we do? We let people know the truth. Of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You know, be honest with them. Some people you're going to be able to share the gospel and share Christ in a compassionate way, and some you're going to have to be really bold and get in their face. They're probably not going to like it. But some people, that's what it takes. I remember hearing the story of a man going to this guy's house day after day after day, not in the same week, but I mean just continually. He would go maybe once a month and so forth, just go and witness to him. The guy was just vulgar. And he would just curse him and just, he was just awful. But he went, and this went on for years. Finally, he's getting ready to walk up to this man's door again. He's feeling a little discouraged by it, and he knocks on the door. And the guy opens the door, and he just unleashes on him. And the guy goes, then you can go to hell. And the man went, what'd you say? And he goes, don't you get it? He goes, everything I'm sharing with you is showing you what Christ has done in your way of eternal life. But if you are just bent on going to hell, then just go to hell. And the guy goes, I never thought about that. And he invited him in, and the man got saved. The man got saved. He tried so many times, using compassion, using enticing words, and using this, and the man just ripped him up. And finally, he just went, you know what then? And that phrase, I wouldn't say to use that all the time, okay? But that phrase, at that moment, got that man's attention, and he heard the gospel again, and it took seed, and he got saved. What do we do? Hold fast, hold strong doctrine, keep witnessing, keep sharing, keep growing in the Lord. Get ready. The Lord is returning. The Lord is going to be coming back. When? We don't know. But he could come at any moment. Let's just be ready. Let's pray.